Numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin, and this is a numbers game. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's cold still. Still cold. Real cold.
I hear it's going to warm up today, so you'll be okay.
What does that mean? 40?
A living condition.
Okay, all right.
A living condition for you, Kelly Bidlin. This show has more guests than one show should be allowed to have. We're going to allow it for today. Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst, football and basketball talk with JVT. Matty Cox from Three Man Weave. How about a little college basketball? Can we talk some Danny Hurley today? Man has lost his mind. Farmers Insurance Open Preview. Was we go country clubbing a little later with Kelly.
That's right. Starts today. Plays. Get your bets in.
I have a couple tennis plays as well. Our tennis plays split last night, which we'll get into momentarily. And then hour number two, the beat goes on and on to the break of dawn. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia will join us with all his plays. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sportradar. He hasn't been around in a while. So we check in with Alex Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, minus 104 is better than minus 110. We'll get him to tell you what Sport Trade is about for those who are not hip to it. And then our buddy Mike Pritchard. Pritch, please. He's going to join us a little later on. Former national champion, but as we say, once a national champion, always a national champion at the University of Colorado. And then, of course, former NFLer to give his thoughts on both championship games this weekend between the Eagles and the Commodores. And, of course, the Bills and the Chiefs and the AFC. Cannot wait. We'll do all of that on the show today. And we'll also talk NFL draft pick number one here momentarily because you can bet on this. But I just want to say last night we split our tennis plays. The dog did not get home. Alina Svitolina, plus 164 dog. She won the first set against Maddie Keys, the American, yesterday. It did go to three sets. The game total that we bet on did go over, so we hit that one. But we split because Svitolina could not get home. Maddie Keys takes it down in the third set, 6-4. So we have the semis set in both the men's and the ladies' side. On both the men's and the ladies' side. And the ladies go first, as they do tonight. It is going to be two great matches, Sabalenka-Badosa, Swiatek against Keys. I will have a play. We'll not put them up now, guys. We'll save this for a little later. Or should we put them up now? What do you want to do?
We can hit them both.
You can hit them both? Yeah. All right, we'll do it now. I have two plays, and it's very similar to last night. I am on Paula Badosa. She is Spanish. She's plus 265 tonight against world number one Aryna Sabalenka. We're also going over the total because I think Badosa gives her a run tonight. And I think however we get to 21, I'll take it. But I think this is going to be a hard fought match. I think it probably goes three sets. It's Badosa on the money line at plus 265. Badosa Sabalenka over 21 games. Again, raw data on these two. Sabalenka with the slightest of edges over Badosa. It is not what the market is representing. Per my data, so plus 265 on Paula Badosa and over 21 games. By the way, you see the there's multiple controversies happening in the Australian Open. Are you familiar with all this?
I feel like I've seen bits and pieces of, yes, multiple things, but no, I'm not familiar with any of them, I don't think.
There's one that's, you know, serious in the tennis world, and then there's one that's kind of amusing, but I guess also serious. Not serious to me, but the one on court. There's one on court and there's one off court.
Okay.
The on court is, last night we had two incidents. There's four quarterfinal matches, two on the ladies' side, two on the men's side. We had back-to-back matches where a double bounce happened. So in the Swiatek Navarro match, which, by the way, Iga 6-1, 6-2. Iga has lost seven games in the last four matches.
That's not bad.
I'm telling you, as I've said many, many times on this show, she'll be the GOAT when all is said and done.
She also jumped real quick. She also jumped Sabalenka in the futures market. So she's now.
Yeah, because if you watch her play tennis, it is unbelievable.
Sabalenka has been the favorite there for until today. Yeah, she's minus 115 now. Swiatek.
Yeah, Sabalenka has been choppy, let's say, so far, and then Iga has been ridiculous. By the way, we got our quarter home on Iga last night at plus 115. But anyway, there was a point in the second set, where Iga had a game point to hold her serve. And Navarro had a drop shot. It bounced twice. Like, the ball hit the second time, and then Iga hit it back. The ump didn't catch it. Iga ends up winning the point. Navarro lets up, the point continues. Iga ends up winning the point. Iga wins the game for the hold to go up 3-2. She eventually wins that set 6-2. But what are you looking back there? Yeah, you're distracted. Oh.
talking to Kelly.
He's looking right behind him. Talking to the man, he's like, "How cold is it in here? Oh, it's 70? Jeez, oh, God, I'm sure.
I thought Dave had the air conditioning on for
I'm
a
sure.
second.
I'm sure riveted. I'm sure the audience must be riveted. Anyway, the point is that they didn't go to replay, which they should have, but they shouldn't. Well, they could have, but it was on Navarro to stop the point right at that point during the rally to trigger the replay.
So she continues playing. So they just let the point go?
Which, by the way, is a horrible rule because you're expecting the onus put on the player to stop the point in the middle when your instinct is to keep playing is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it should be the other way around, right? Like, keep playing, like almost like the football rules of like, hey, you know, let the defense return the touchdown.
Don't blow
then
the whistle.
We're going to review it.
That's right. Don't blow the whistle. Well, it's the opposite in tennis. The player in the middle of a rally is supposed to stop the point, trigger the replay. So Iga ends up getting the point. She ends up winning the match. Anyway, it wasn't like it was 7-6, 7-6, and this was during a tiebreaker. She won, for God's sake, 6-1, 6-2. And it wasn't like it was a break point or anything. But, you know, some people can say afterwards, they're like, well, Iga should have said, you know, that's your point. I don't know if she saw the replay or not. I'm not sure. In the second game, in the second match, what happened right after that?
I mean, I kind of agree with that too,
let me give you what happened in the next match. Next match, it's Shelton against Sonego. Same thing happens. This time on Sonego's racket, they do stop. They do go to replay. And finally, after about a, I don't know, 6-minute delay, I'm not sure, don't hold me to that exactly. Finally, Shelton, just because he gets is impatient, he's like, you could have the point. So people who are like retroactively giving Shelton credit, I'm like, it took him 6 minutes to give her the point.
And if like, right? And if it hit twice, it hit twice.
And he actually got to see a replay. So I'm not sure if Iga actually did when one wasn't triggered in the first one. Anyway, this, if you may recall, there was one incident of this last year, but on a match point between Ogier Aliassime and Jack Draper, where Draper clearly knew he won match point on a double bounce. And Ogier Aliassime just looked at him like, really? You're not going to call it? You're not going to concede the point? So anyway, this is a problem. They got to figure out replay in tennis. That's the on-court thing. The off-court thing is...
it's fascinating.
These, I'm sure by your check of the temperature, I'm sure you were fascinated.
I was listening intently, all right?
Jeez.
I wasn't on camera. I knew I wasn't on camera.
The off-court thing is these post-match interviews, like Shelton went off on, you know, Djokovic punted on one because he was offended by something. Shelton last night went after them in the press conference because he's like, these are ridiculous. Someone literally said after he beat Monfils, he's like, hey, he could be your dad. In fact, maybe he is your dad. Like, there's really awkward interviews. Lerner Tien, the 19-year-old who beat Medvedev.
What's that supposed to mean? Like a Pedro thing? Like he owns
like,
you?
It's like the guy wants to be the star, the interviewer. They get three questions and they want to be the star. They want to go viral or something. Lerner Tien, the 19-year-old who beat Medvedev. Yeah. Literally, it was like, wow, you're 19. And he puts the mic in his face. And he's like,
is there a question there?
Sure. Anyway, it's anyway.
So Djokovic had a problem with it, too. So it's not just the Americans losing their
stuff.
Oh, no,
it's everybody. Okay. Everybody's having trouble with it.
Because I'm not sure that Danielle Collins and Ben Shelton are the best, representatives of America.
Yeah, that's very true. It's a very good point. Anyway, Badosa's the play. Badosa Sabalenka over is the other play on the same match tonight in the Australian Open semifinals. Mel Kiper has his first mock draft of 2025.
Let's go.
Mel Kiper from ESPN. Tennessee Titans, you're on the clock. And according to Mel's first mock draft, and yes, if you're scoring at home, this draft ain't happening for a while. There'll be many more mocks. He's got Cam Ward from Miami going number one at Tennessee. The Will Levis experiment is over. Cam Ward going number one at Tennessee per Mel Kiper's mock draft 1.0. Then he's got Cleveland, which might be a mild surprise to some who think maybe the Deshaun Watson experiment should be over. It's Travis Hunter. Maybe the Deshaun Watson experiment is over either way, but they're not going quarterback per Mel Kiper's mock draft 1.0. Travis Hunter, wide receiver primarily, he suspects, with sprinkled in at cornerback, goes to Cleveland at number two. And then Shedeur Sanders, who Kiper has just who has on his big board, he has Sanders one slot better than Cam Ward. Shedeur falls into the Giants' lap per this mock. Abdul Carter, of course, continuing the 11 history, the LeVar Arrington, Micah Parsons history at Penn State. Abdul Carter goes to the Patriots at 4. The outside linebacker, Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan, goes to Jacksonville, 5. Ted Aroa McMillan, the wideout from Arizona, falls into the Raiders' lap. Now, do you remember we talked about Ted Aroa McMillan?
Ridiculously. I mean, I think I've seen one and a half Arizona games this year, Gil, but he's ridiculously good.
He's incredible. And then Mykael Williams from Georgia goes to the Jets at 7 and on, and so on and so on. But you can bet on number one. And right now, here are what the odds look like. Again, agree or disagree with what Kuiper's doing. But Cam Ward, buoyed a little bit by this, by the way. Cam Ward minus 195. That's a bit of a move, yes?
Yes.
Because of that.
It's like minus 115.
Before, yeah, so people are buying into the literal first Mel Kuiper mock draft as if he's the best indicator, which, by the way, he hasn't been historically. Daniel Jeremiah, I think, gets that nod. Shador is plus 165. Travis Hunter's 12-1. Abdul Carter's 14-1. Would you make a bet here any which way? And I'm not talking about Ward. I'm talking about with anybody else thinking Kuiper's wrong.
I guess I still have a little bit of a problem thinking that Ward's going to go before Shador Sanders, but I think the one thing that one of the big things that helps Cam Ward is just seeing Jaden Daniels and how good he was this year in any... We go back and forth, it feels like, every NFL season of whether you should be concerned with these quarterbacks that are a slighter of build or not, right? And Jaden Daniels would tell you that this season that there is nothing to be concerned about. So if you're the Titans and that's your guy and that's kind of what we've heard, then yeah, I guess I think it's going to be Ward. Gil, I think the one I keep thinking about is Travis Hunter and playing over on whatever his draft position is.
You think he could fall?
I think he could fall.
Okay, so like, not like this market, but whenever those markets appear.
Right, yeah. Like we're talking McMillan. He's awesome. Someone really tell me Travis Hunter's a better wide receiver than McMillan?
Oh, he's so not.
So, like, so that's what we're talking about here, right?
Ted Aroa McMillan is amazing. We'll come back. JVT on the NFL and the NBA. Next, numbers game.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready to take your tailgate to the whole nother level? You got to try Sewell's Barbecue. Born from a backyard cookout, a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. Back and forth, forth and back. From smoky ribs and mouth-watering wings to the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. I will spell it as always. I will do the work. I will do the heavy lifting, Kelly. SewellsBBQ. Get ready for it. SAUCE.com. Flavor this good. It's just a click away. By the way, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners of the game, without question. Mr. Masterline. This might be the dumbest question of the day, but I'm searching for the Megapod and don't see anything about gambling. Is that just the Beating the Book podcast by chance? Yes, it's just the Beating the Book podcast. And the Megapod is the football, the weekly football, the second one that we do each week, because we do guessing lines on Monday and then we do the Megapod on Thursday. But it is the Beating the Book feed. By the way, during the postseason, we do the Megapod on Wednesdays, which is today. And so Christopher Felica will join us. Are you familiar with El Oso? Chris Felica,
the bear.
El Oso joins us today, the bear, on our championship round podcast, Megapod, today. So, yes, Beating the Book feed. Nevada Azer. Hey, Gil, given all the noise that the NFL has heard this week, does the Buffalo, Kansas City officiating crew swallow the whistle this weekend? Thoughts?
Probably.
I don't know. I hate when people, like, determine what they'll do based on that kind of stuff, but I sure hope so, Nevada Azer. I really do. The worst possible thing that could happen in the NFL this weekend is Skins losing. No, is Kansas City winning by whistle.
So
that's the worst.
What you
outcome.
Said at first is absolutely correct. That I hope that we wouldn't, you know, it nothing should change because nothing should change when it comes to officiating. But oh my God, if you're blowing whistles like you did in Houston, Kansas City, we cannot have that. Yeah. No.
Gibby, how do you think books will grade Travis Hunter? As it relates to first defensive back slash wide receiver slash defensive player to be taken, that could be a very messy situation. You're right, Gibby. It could be. In fact, it's the old Doug Kazarian jam the kiosk thing, right? Where a player was, what was it, safety and cornerback, but he sort of...
It was like defensive back was the prop. Yeah,
yeah, the books weren't really on their P's and Q's with that one. They will be for Travis Hunter.
I was going to say, this one, they will be all over
that.
Yeah,
they're very well aware of Travis Hunter. James Sott saying, so, Kelly, I have to be in the office this week and check out my morning commute and walk into the office. I'll take that 40-degree high, please. He's at -6 wherever he is.
Brutal.
-6. And then finally, Sean at Sean Fox Place. Word will go to Tennessee, as word is Deion has told them he doesn't want Shador there. Cleveland is open for business, and Deion going to Dallas is contingent on Dallas acquiring that pick if they do place a bet immediately on Deion coaching Dallas. Oh, there's a theory.
I actually think it's very likely something like that happens.
That could be or very well be true. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us, everybody. He's our senior NBA analyst and, of course, part of the whole glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him at MeJVT on the old Twitter machine. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
I'm good. This is I'm a winter guy, so I think I can gather that Kelly was bitching about the weather here. I enjoy the cold. Was actually taking the kid out to play hoops the last couple of days out there, getting him ready.
Wow.
So, yeah, very much enjoyed this weather.
Does he have some yo-yo in his dribble? Has it got some talent?
He has the passion. I don't know if he's got the – we'll see what happens. But he also just started, like, I think a week ago. I've indoctrinated him on watching it every day, and then they started doing it in PE. He's like, this is great. So we are working on it.
One of my favorite five-second stories in the history of this show is you talking, like, how you've become your dad, and when your son comes around, you fall asleep watching TV. Your son's like, hey, I'm watching that.
John, well, I'm watching golf tournaments on a Sunday. That's the best thing. Hey, check it out. Watch out.
Hey, let's start with the two games this weekend in the NFL, the two championship games. Have you placed a bet, sir?
Yeah, I laid 5.5. I'm sorry, with Philly against Washington. And here's the thing: like, there's a side that I feel very strongly about here, and then there's a part of this that I don't feel very strongly about. And it's kind of the same thing. You'll see what I'm saying. But the thing that has worried me about Washington is defensively, they just haven't been good. Like, if you look at every metric down the stretch here, they've been very, very subpar. If you're looking at EPA, if you look at its success rate, you look at what Baker Mayfield did to him, you look at what Jared Goff and the Lions did to him when they were holding on to the football. You even look what Kenny Pickett / Tanner McKee did to them in that final matchup that they had with Washington in the regular season. I think that there's a lot to be worried about here with Washington. The other part, too, is Cosby going down, I think, is low-key kind of big. I mean, he was a pretty good pass protector.
We saw
the Carter along the interior, right? Really disrupted those last two plays for LA against Philly last week. And I think that's going to play a pretty big role in at least moving Jaden Daniels off his spot. To add the adulation, by the way, to Jaden Daniels, go look up his numbers under pressure. You talk about the inability to be flapped. Holy smokes. The guy's great. Yeah, it's nuts. But I do think all of those things play a role. But I'll say this, Gil. The other thing, if you look at, if you sort by some numbers and some metrics, since week 13, if you include postseason, Jalen Hurts is the 26th ranked quarterback in the NFL by PFF passing grade. He has not been good. He doesn't turn the ball over. He just hasn't been accurate. He's not finding guys. Is your floor raised by this defense? I'm not entirely sure, but I do know that you're going to be able to run the ball and have some success on the ground against Washington. And this is a very different defense. It looks like Quinion Mitchell is going to play here for Philly too. That makes me feel a lot better. So laid it with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. Daniels just put some numbers behind what JVT is talking about. Since week 13, which is when the Washington 7-game winning streak began, Jaden Daniels QBR, this is out of 100, 82.3. When you blitz him during the regular season, 90.1 QBR against Detroit, 91.8. This is what I say, and I love how people come in here sheepishly, like, I'm sorry, Gil, I'm fading the Washingtons. I appreciate that. But I say the case for Philadelphia is they're a defensive team first, and they don't have to blitz, right? That's the case for Philly. And so because they're good enough where they don't have to, and Philly, what is it, on the year, 18% rate. Blitz rate, fourth lowest in the league. So that's their path. But that's what you said about Jalen Hurts, man. Whoo, like, they better get ahead and they better play, you know, the script they want to play. Otherwise, oh boy, we could have Jaden Daniels in a Super Bowl. Could be.
And I think, too, I mean, I guess the positive you'll hang your hat on, it's not really a positive with Hurts, is like when other quarterbacks don't play well, they're putting the ball in danger. You know what I mean? Like, it's you're giving teams extra possessions. With Hurts, over this 6-7-game sample size that I'm talking about, where he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, he's actually got one of the lowest turnover-worthy play rates in the NFL. It's just that he just hasn't been good, right? I mean, everybody has seen the frozen screenshot on the safety that he took where he's got a guy over the middle open, and he doesn't want to just pull the trigger on that for whatever reason. Those are the kind of mistakes you see with Hurts. So to your point, if he does not play well again, if you can at least run the ball, have a lead, and don't ask him to do too much and get another one of those playoff wins with under 200 yards passing, that I think is something that is foreseeable. And again, going back to Daniels, I really do wonder if that Cosby injury is going to play a factor here. To have a guy like Carter be able to pressure the pocket, be able to put it up the middle, right, force him out either way. It's not like he's bad out of the pocket, but it just takes you off your first read, do those sort of things. I think that's going to play a factor here in this game.
Yeah, he just went into Detroit and took down arguably the greatest Detroit Lions team of all time. It's just incredible. He has more wins now in the postseason than he does sacks, picks, and fumbles combined in two games. So it just, it's on and on and on with just unbelievable stuff. Nuts. Anything on Buffalo, Kansas City?
Yeah, I did lay 1.5 with Kansas City. I do think that the injuries and for Buffalo's defense is a little worrisome. I also don't feel the most confident about either side. Look, I thought these were two teams that were very outplayed in their games, respectively, in the divisional round, right? I mean, only under 4 or 5 yards per play for the Kansas City Chiefs. For Buffalo, you gave up over 7 yards per play to the Baltimore Ravens. You didn't really play well on either team. But the one thing that I think we know about Kansas City is, first off, they are a team that will play mistake-free football. They are very good at that. Mahomes does not put the ball in danger. At playing at home in that environment, I think, is going to be very beneficial for them. And I just get really turned off by the way I saw that Buffalo defense again get really gouged by a team that has the ability to generate some explosive plays and how beat up they are on the back end. So this one was the least strong of the two, but I did lay 1.5 with Kansas City here in the AFC Championship game.
Pretty big slate in the NBA tonight. You are a senior NBA analyst. What did you play so far? Anything?
Yeah, so I got a couple of games. I mean, some of them already moved. Like, I took 7 with New Orleans here against Milwaukee. We're down to 5.5. I think the market was just kind of a little out of whack with how much healthier this Pelicans team is getting. So we'll see how much farther this goes down. But I do have New Orleans here in this spot against them. And then later tonight, I did lay a little bit of a shorter number for with Boston on the road against Los Angeles Clippers. This thing's up to 10. I laid 9. I think that you've seen the Clippers play a lot of basketball, right? They had to throw in that out of the game against Chicago because of everything going on in the fires. You're talking about a team that's got some really high miles on them. Boston's trying to, I think, bounce back here over a tough stretch. They got a big revenge spot against Golden State. Day of rest as well. And I think they're going to come in here and beat up on a Clippers team that has had to play a lot of basketball in the recent days. So those are the two so far that I've got. But again, a little off market considering everything's moved so much so far.
Before we leave, since you brought up the Warriors there briefly, in mention, could you have possibly anticipated this turnaround? And when I say turnaround, I mean to the bad.
No, I mean, if you guys remember, preseason was my favorite win total. I loved this team. Like, I didn't think they were going to win a championship, but I thought they're going to be way better than expected. But they're just all over the place. The offense is awful, especially when Curry's not out there. They're not really getting that much from their young players. The dynamic between Kuminga and the front office of Kerr seems to be kind of playing out on the field, on the court to a certain extent. If you would have told me they would have fallen back down to earth, would have totally understood it. To this degree, though, I think this is really, really shocking to see how bad they've been.
I mean, is DeAnthony Melton the league MVP? It's like incredible.
Look at his on-court numbers last year for Philly. I mean, he might be.
It's unbelievable. John, always a pleasure, man. Good luck with all the bets. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you about 1 hour and 15 minutes.
There you go. Jonathan Von Tobelin today on Money Moves.
Oh, I think, I don't know if it had directly to do with this, but Stormy's been traveling for like 18 straight hours.
She got locked up into the Atlanta airport and Delta. Yeah. We'll come back. Some college hoops next right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting ready for Big Game 59 with a big deal to match. Save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber, bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets to help you cash more tickets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access to tune in anywhere on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Save $59 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I'm glad you hit your cue. I didn't know if you were going to check the thermostat. Oh, I see you knocked it up 4 degrees.
75 degrees, baby. Let's go.
Man, it's trying to smoke me out of here. What was it? It was 70 before? That was too cold for you?
I was 70, but I heard it kick on. That's what distracted me, and I thought I felt cold air, and I was going to lose it on Dave Ross.
I swear, if sweat comes down my back, I am climbing over you and knocking it down.
Dave.
Thermostat battles.
Former Marine, so might as well throw that out here, but he sits here like it's 64 degrees every day. Like, how are you not freezing?
Let's talk some college hoops. He is one of the three gentlemen that
not yet.
Oh, I thought that was a thumbs up from you. By the way, did you see what happened in college hoops yesterday? The Dan Hurley thing?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so earlier this season, I don't know if you remember this, they were playing a tournament in Hawaii.
Yep.
And they lost, I want to say, 3 in a row. Right. 2 very close. But one was an overtime loss to Memphis.
Right out of the gates, right?
Not right out of the gates, but a few games in. Yeah. Defending national champion, Dan Hurley and UConn. And remember, he got it during that overtime against Memphis. He took a technical foul, Like, he got a tech for arguing. And then after the game, he's like, I had nothing to do with a loss. When, like, of course it had something to do with the loss. You cost you a point, and you lost by two or whatever it was. But he also said famously after that, he goes, we're never coming back. We're never coming back to Hawaii. Really? You're never coming back to Hawaii? Was that bad for your program? Then last night, UConn does beat Butler by two last night. But
in overtime, right?
Yes. Did it go to overtime? Yes, it did go to overtime. But did you see the quote? Do we have this tweet, by the way?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't have it. It was a lip reader's delight. But basically, and I'll paraphrase because there was a curse word in there, but basically the ref turned his back on Dan Hurley, and Dan Hurley was, don't turn, in a tense moment of the game, as he's walking onto the court in a break, he goes, don't turn your back on me. I'm the best blanking coach in college basketball, unquote. He's lost his mind.
Yeah, he has. You also very rarely, so you sent me the video of the tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely see these networks take something down and copyright flag it. They did with that video. I was a little surprised. I don't know about you. The lip reading always blows my mind because I can't do it at all. I can't.
I'm terrible at it.
I am terrible at it. I'll never forget Primetime Action. Matt Brown would try to mouth things back to me in the back. I'm like, dude, you got to text me. I have no idea what you're saying.
You know who's great? John Boy, world class lip reader for baseball stuff. John Boy, with the managers and the pitchers talking at each other. Matty Cox is here from Three Man Weave. One third of the Three Man Weave college basketball trinity joins us now in front of multiple college basketball banners. How you doing, Matty?
Fellas, I'm terrific. How are you?
Good. Danny Hurley losing his mind again, arrogant beyond belief. Thing or not a thing? Let's just say on the basketball court, their defense is horrible this year, right?
Yeah, it's funny. There's debate whether or not that is, how much of that is a show and how effective that is in referee puppeteering, as I call it. I'd argue it works against them, at least this year, from what I've seen, at least it has. So I don't know. It's just who he's been. I think we sort of forgot about that because they were so damn good the last couple of years. But I think in face of some adversity, I think there's a little bit of that old, he's got that Hurley in him, right? Like, they just can't ever control themselves when it really gets
up against him.
I mean, Bobby loses his mind sometimes. It's a family lineage thing. It really is. It runs in the blood.
Do you feel like, and I know we're sitting here in January, so perhaps this is not a fair question because there's so much basketball to be played, but do you consider them among the legit contenders this year?
No, I don't. I think the defense has been too shaky. And frankly, their injuries have been really a problem. Like, they have Liam McNeely and Alex Caravan, neither of whom have been 100% all season. I think this team's not deep enough to, they have to have their top core 6-7. And you could argue those are probably their two most important dudes. And I don't like a not deep team with a slight dip in talent without all the core pieces intact, flowing continuously, and without those two guys who have been super important on both ends. I just don't trust this team. Unless I see them play five games in a row together, maybe the mojo starts to pick up late in the year. But until I see that, I can't put them in that class right now. No.
Top 10 adjusted offense per KenPom. Guess what their adjusted defensive rank is, Kelly?
Guess a
number. 57th.
132nd.
That's not great.
It's not good. Okay, before we get to your plays, give me a team, because right now Duke and Auburn, the short shots to win it all this year. Duke 5-1, Auburn plus 550 at DraftKings. Then Iowa State leads the double-digit parade, followed by Houston, Tennessee, and Alabama. There you go, baby, at 14-1. Give me a team beyond those. If I took those off the board and I said, give me a sort of sneaky team that you could see once they get into the big dance, could be live, matchups unknown right now, obviously.
Yeah, I'll give you two. The one that's value-wise, man, I just feel like I missed the boat. But Illinois, I think when you talk about title contenders, you're looking for ceiling, right? You're looking for upside. And I think that team's good as looked as anyone's good, save maybe Auburn and Duke and Houston, Iowa State, and Spurs. I think Illinois is worth a shot, even at the current number. This is from a guy who basically thought this team would be like an average middle-of-the-road Big Ten team to start the year. I mean, their talent's crazy. And Underwood's a great coach, great adapter. I think that chameleon type coaching thing is important in a tournament setting. I'm also looking at Louisville. They have a really easy schedule down the stretch. I think they could climb into a very favorable seed position, give them a good edge to maybe make a run to the second weekend. And once you're there at the current number, I think it's a live price, right? So that's the two I'd give you. I think Kelsey is an underrated coach. Depth-wise, I have concerns. But again, tournament setting, rotation tends to tighten. they can keep the guys they have there right now healthy, I think Pat Kelsey's a good bet there. At I think they're, what, 80 to 1? 75, maybe 100 to 1 at some places. I think that's a good number.
Somewhere in that pocket. Shop around, of course, yeah, for the best. I lied. One more question before your before your picks. Has there been, to your guys' handicapping and obviously results-based as well, has there been a team that you look at and you're like, oh, that's a dead solid over team, or that's a dead solid under team?
Oof. You know, it's the Big 12, a lot of the Big 12 teams, they like, you know, Texas Tech, Baylor's actually a good example, Kansas to a degree. I've kind of been looking at just that sort of subset of teams to the under. I think defensively, they're all really strong and maybe had some inflated metrics or distorted metrics from the non-con and who they played. And all those coaches, like, I think really embrace, like, the conference grind does take a toll on these teams and it's very taxing. You see almost just like both teams handshake agreed to get into like a rock fight, slow nip and tuck possession affair. Just like a lot of these, you know, just because there's more parity, more variability, it feels like a lot of these games trend towards that. So Big 12, some of those unders. But God, I mean, Iowa State with the way they're playing, who knows, man, that might just be an Alabama team at this point. I mean, they're putting up 190, and that's kind of what I think makes them slightly more dangerous long-term than they have in years past. I know they've been out early in the tournament the last couple of seasons.
You agree the biggest change in college hoops, like the last 2 years, just betting this stuff, is that, you know, we always just took it for granted that these teams were going to foul with like a minute and a half left, and they were going to foul repeatedly. Oh, yeah. And, you know, if they were down a certain amount of points, let's say 6 points, and they were going to keep fouling till they got, you know, back into it, if they could, in fact, have the other team miss free throws. And now teams just don't do it anymore. The last couple years, they're like, it's almost like an NBA thing. They're like, nah, we lost, whatever. It's like a load management thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, I do think you see some of that, you know, a little bit of quit, maybe. Is that what you're trying to get? Yes, yeah, trying to, you know, dance around it. It's funny, the free throw rate is up this season, but that's mostly a function of the block charge change that was instituted last year. You saw the jump. It's actually risen even more this season. But in that late game stuff, you're right, I don't have the data, but I think anecdotally you definitely see a lot less of that end game stuff. But again, that's why betting totals to me is just really tough. Like, you can argue there's higher ROI opportunities, more inefficient market, but the game flow is just so volatile in some of these college games, man. You really have to have a good, strong edge. And even then, it's just never as solid of an edge, at least for me, as I have, I think, with sides. But, you know, it's probably a function I've been doing sides for longer myself.
All right, the picks are?
Headed west here tonight, Gil. I like Cal. So on that weird, you know, the ACC disjointed schedule now, we got East Coast, West Coast teams flying across the country. It's hurt the West Coast teams more. I think that's sort of an accepted premise. We see that in football, too. But first time Florida State's making the trip out west. They've not been great on the road this year. Got a couple of rotation guys down tonight. I like Mark Madsen. I think his team is improving. Finally back at home, I think you have some undervalue. You know, I think you're probably getting an extra a bonus point or two because of how poor they played in those travel spots. So I like Cal there. And the other one I do like as well is, yeah, this is actually, it's a late game, but Central Time Zone, I guess, Mississippi, laying three against A&M. Man, Chris Beard, they're actually playing defense this year. They played basically one bad game. That was against Memphis, against a desperate Memphis team after Christmas. Consistent team. I think they get it done tonight. -3, better team at home. I think home's worth 3 in this conference. So give me the Rebs -3 against the market, I believe, there.
A pair of plays. Thank you, Maddie. Appreciate that as well. I really do find that end of game thing fascinating because it's like a memo got passed around. It's like the March of the Penguins. And then one day a penguin took one step and everybody followed.
Well, you know, being an NBA guy, I'm always like, why are these kids trying so hard? It's over.
That's right. Thank you, Maddie. Appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas. Good luck.
Matt Cox, everybody, from 3-Man Weave, 3MW _CBB for all of their plays. Country clubbing, golf and tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse racing action heating up in South Florida. What you know about this, Kelly? With a $3 million Pegasus World Cup on Saturday, January 25th, that's this Saturday, and our friends over at First Bet have you covered with everything you need to hit big. Sign up for a new First Bet account using promo code VSIN200 to claim a $200 sign-up bonus, plus download their free Pegasus World Cup wager guide and get up to $10 back when your horse finishes second or third in the biggest races at Gulfstream Park. Head over to firstbet.com, that's 1STBET.com, and use promo code VSIN200. You bet the horses have.
Oh, you know, occasionally I do. Definitely the triple crown races. Couldn't say that word.
They still running around the track. Your horses that you bet on?
Yeah. They're still going. Yeah. They're still going somewhere. The Gulfstream. Can you believe I've never been there? Though?
Really?
Never been there. Hmm. Yeah. In all my time in South Florida, never went down.
Where is it precisely in South?
It's Miami-ish. Miami-ish. Area.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know exactly.
I know about Miami-ish. Very familiar.
I think Felipe would be very disappointed in me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he'll let you hear about it.
I played cards at a lot of tracks in Florida, but you know, man, I'm not the biggest race guy.
No. Not a week ago, but now what has it been? 5 days? Pardon me, since we re-entered the Sirius XM world here at VSiN, Sirius XM channel 158. As those of you who are listening know very well right now, we're happy to have you aboard. We used to be on Sirius XM 58, and then we went away for a while. And now that Steve Cohen's aboard with us, we're back on Sirius XM, and we're thrilled to be there. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of folks were asking about this last week because we talked about how I was on with Sway in the Morning on Eminem's Shade 45 channel to sort of kick this off.
That was so awesome.
Here's a little snippet of that, Sway in the Morning last week.
Hey, Gil, I'm super proud of you. I think we're both tremendously blessed that still in 2025, you and I could be on the same radio platform together, man. This is pretty amazing, bro.
It's amazing, man. Yeah. I really appreciate y'all having me. Thank you.
Yeah. Gil, sure. Know the young Swiggity. Gil, you can tell them stories. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, write a book for us, Gil. I'll read it.
You know what's so funny about that? The people I work with now would never believe you. Never.
I know, right? If I told them your stories? Oh, hey. Anyway. Gil, tell them the channel again.
Sirius XM channel 158. Starting today.
There you go, man. Beautiful. Proud of you, brother. Congratulations.
Shout out to you, Gil, and shout out to our guy, Steve Cohen.
All right. Yay! Check in with us, Gil. All right. You're a super citizen.
A Sway in the Morning. Oh,
man. Sway in the Morning gave me super citizen status. I think everybody's a super citizen. I don't know what that is. So Sway and I worked together in the 90s, many, many years ago. By the way, I have no idea what the young Sweetie. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea. All I know is that Andre, who does our clip sometimes for a numbers game.
Associate producer.
He now has 5 million times the respect for me that he did yesterday. And I hope what this will mean is that our clips will be put up on Twitter in a much more expeditious fashion. I hope that's the result of that.
Yeah, that's good. Andre has got some renewed respect for you.
Yeah,
good,
that good. Once he renewed, learned. Now all of a sudden it comes from 0 to 100.
Initial just has respect for the first time.
It's like, he went on the intercom for the first time. He's like, I didn't know you knew Sway. Sway used to do a show called the 10 o'clock bomb at KMEL, 10 p.m. till 2 in the morning. Or till midnight some nights. And I would follow him. I would do overnights. This is when we were kids, right? And I would often...
mid-20s?
I would often sleep through. Yes. And so I would get a call, but, hey, where are you? I'm like, so sorry, Sway. I'll be right over. That's how our relationship began. And it was only uphill
that's
from
awesome,
there.
Man. Yeah. I don't know what... if you could have seen my face driving into work here... listening to that interview on Friday, I was so happy. I couldn't stop smiling. It was just my favorite thing ever. We really need more crossover promotional stuff like that.
He wanted me to tell stories, but as a man in my 50s now, Kelly, it's unbecoming. So I will not.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Probably a good idea. You ready for country clubbing?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go country clubbing. Oh.
Look
at the DJ in the little corner. I never noticed that in the back.
Yeah, you have. You texted me about that one.
Right,
he goes on forever.
On text, I noticed it, but never on air before.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it just goes on. Right, Brendan? Is the little DJ still playing?
Do you want him to play this over under your golf?
Yeah, look at it. Oh, yeah. Now he faded out.
Do you want this music under your golf picks to make golf exciting?
To make golf exciting? All right, Mr. Exciting Kenneth, why don't you start first?
Kelly's like, and then Hudson Swafford is my next.
Oh, man.
Anyway, the tennis one real quick, since this all falls under the country clubbing. Once again, Paula Badosa tonight against Aryna Sabalenka. Badosa plus 265, also taking the over 21 games. Those are the two tennis plays. But as for golf, where are we headed this week in golf?
Farmers Insurance. Yeah.
Farmers Insurance.
Oh, beautiful, gorgeous Torrey Pines, which sounds like it's going to get a couple tournaments this year because Riviera is going to be moved down there.
I played one of the two courses at Torrey Pines. I can never remember which one.
Well, the South one's the better one. And it's the one you see on TV more.
The one I played, I was kind of underwhelmed by.
There's the old South course. Yeah, you might have played the North course. I don't know about...
Can I drop a name who I played with?
Of course.
Kornheiser and Wilbon.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
How am I hearing this story for the first time?
That's true. And Wilbon kept putting out his little binocular thingies, like every hole. he's like analyzing everything. I was just like, oh my God.
Was this something to do with
didn't
work?
Didn't improve his game.
I don't care about my bets this at
was
all
at
anymore.
This was at a convention.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, back in the day in San Diego.
Like a radio convention?
Yes, sort of.
Like FM radio's here. Let's all get together.
Sort of, different. Not exactly. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know. Are you kidding me? I'd rather talk about that. I'm so off my game now. All right, Farmers Insurance Open. So, Torrey Pines, if you are not used to the setup here, how they will play, as Gil's brought up, there are two courses. So early season, we play with a couple of these rotations. This is a event that starts today. First tee time's in about an hour, so get your bets in. They do this every year. And
oh, wow. Wednesday start.
And annually, I forget every year, Gil, until about Monday, that this starts on Wednesday because they've done this to get it out of the way of the conference championship
That's
games,
what they do.
Which is smart. It makes a ton of sense. It would just be nice if I ever remembered. So anyways, you're going to see everybody's going to play the North and the South course once over Wednesday, Thursday. Then we'll have a cut. And then on Friday, Saturday, you will get the final rounds played on the South course. It is one of the toughest tests of golf that you're going to see all year. Longest course on the PGA Tour. It's got small greens. It is very difficult. Unlike the past couple weeks, this will not be a birdie fest. This will be a challenge every club in the bag for these guys that are playing. If you see who's won here in the past, yes, Matthew Pavone was a bit of a surprise last year. He was a huge surprise last year. Otherwise, you've had a lot of guys that have found success regularly on the PGA Tour come here and win pretty usually. Luke List, one of the outliers, another guy does play this course very well, who was a bit longer odds. But as you see, a little bit shorter odds than what we've been seeing for some of these tournaments the past couple weeks. The good guys usually win here because it is a tough test of golf. And really, I love this every year, Gil, because it's kind of the first tournament we get an idea of where guys are at really with their games heading into the true heart of the season. The only problem with this one is because we're going back to Torrey Pines in a couple weeks, some guys have chosen to not play in this one that normally would because they're going to be playing there in the Genesis Invitational in a few weeks. So Ludvig Åberg is your short shot 9-1, Decky's 11-1, Sungjae 18-1, everybody else 22-1 or longer.
No one wants to take the approach I'd like to play in this because it'll give me a practice run for that event.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing.
Yeah,
it's hilly. It's a long walk. There's that kind of stuff, but I kind of think the same thing, Gil. Like, why wouldn't you want to get out there?
Right.
I don't know. But we had like Morikawa drew with illness and stuff. So you don't know what's really real and what's not with golf injury reports. Three outrights for me this week. Will Zalatoris, Max Griezmann, and Shane Lowry. Zalatoris, look, he's had the back problems the past couple years. He's looked so far so good this year, this season. T13. Our T12 at the Amex, T26 at the Century. I really wanted to see what his form was looking at before I kind of bet him this year. Looks pretty good, and he's done well at this tournament. T13 last year, missed cut the year before that, second the year before that, T7 the year before that. So a lot of top 10 finishes here for him. Got him on the outright card and a top 20 bet. Max Griezmann, we talked about him a little bit last week. Has started off season really well. T7 at the Amex, T24 at the Century. 9 top 25 finishes in his last 11 tournaments going back to last summer. Watch out for this kid. He could become a name this year on the tour. So 25-1 outright on him. Also played him in the top 20 market. Shane Lowry, first tournament on the PGA Tour. So you're finding a little bit of longer odds on him. I love Lowry this week. I really don't know how good he's going to come with his first tournament, Gil, being back here in the States. But 40-1, I thought was a really long price on a really good golfer that checks all the boxes for what I'm looking for in a golfer this week. That's long off the tee, accurate off the tee, good on approach, good around the green game. And Lowry's got all those. Couple other longer bums. And Alex Smalley, top 20. He rated out very highly for me this week. And then Joseph Bramlett, who's had some success here, plus 475 on the top 20.
Did you say Max Griezmann as one of them also?
Yep. Yeah, I did. Yeah, he has played very well. 9 top 25 finishes in the last 11 tournaments.
See on the leaflet? I got to check that out. Sounds very leaflet.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
So I feel like I shouldn't guess.
That's what I took away from the bets. We'll come back. Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke. All of his bets. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.